Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Today on CityCast Chicago, Bally's first ever casino in our city is closer than ever. We're looking at some of our city's best rivalries, and the Taste is finally having its moment in the Grand Park Sun. Here with me to make sense of it all is lead producer Simone Alisea. It's Tuesday, September 5th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is what Chicago is talking about. Morning, Simone.
Good morning, Jacoby. How are you?
I am doing well. Let's get things started with our top story of the day. And this is one that we spent a lot of time talking about, especially towards the tail end of former Mayor Lori Lightfoot's tenure, because it might have been one of her only wins. And that is the forthcoming first ever casino in Chicago. Bally's Casino is not expected to open at its Chicago Tribune site for another three or so years. But the temporary casino over at Medina Temple seems to be coming along. What's the latest on that, Simone?
So today, actually, as we speak, regulators are expected to finish up an inspection of the casino at the Medina Temple in River North. And depending on how that goes, it could open as soon as this weekend, potentially. Now, that said, that's not guaranteed. Could be a little bit later, might be mid-September, but that is a distinct possibility. This is going to be, you know, a huge step in Chicago's, like, casino journey. You know, there's supposed to be at the temporary casino, there's supposed to be some 750 slot machines, 50 table games. You know, they've renovated, and I think it'll be quite a big deal and quite an attraction.
It's gonna be a big deal because multiple mayors have sort of faced down the opportunity to work to get a Chicago casino here, and all of them up until Mayor Lori Lightfoot were able to be in charge when this process came to fruition. I say it that way because I don't want to give all the credit to Mayor Lightfoot, just like I don't want to give all of the reasons we didn't get one to the former mayors, right? I kind of want it to be balanced there, but
it's a complicated thing, right? So like former mayor, this goes back to former Mayor Richard M. Daley, who starting in the early 90s was like, hey, would like to bring a casino to Chicago. And really the big issue was in Springfield. There were issues with the state that state regulations that would have allowed the city to operate a casino, a full-fledged casino in city limits. Rahm Emanuel took up the baton when he was mayor. And it wasn't until 2019 when Governor J.B. Pritzker signed that big expansion that expanded gambling, right? That's also the
FanDuel and DraftKings, and you can gamble on your phone.
The online betting as well. As you know, this ability then for Chicago to build a casino, that was part of it as well. And former Mayor Lori Lightfoot, then sort of it landed on her shoulders to actually kind of ink this deal into fruition, which, as we recall, back in 2022, it kind of happened very, very fast. You know, there were some bids and people kind of didn't know which bids were coming in from where and what was official.
I haven't made up my mind yet, but then the news broke it early. And so then you're like, I haven't made a decision yet. It seems like you have.
Yeah, Lightfoot picked Bally's, and that was her pick. And then the city council was like, I guess we're voting on this now, and they did, and it became an official thing. And since then, Bally's has been working to open this temporary casino. As the Tribune moves out of its former publishing center, which isn't going to happen for a while yet. And so this is sort of the interim thing. But the whole reason we're talking about this, the whole reason we're now in our fourth mayoral administration talking about the casino.
It's that revenue. It's that Chicago need money.
Yes, it is the money, the tax revenue that the city is expected to get from this. Specifically, and you should go back and listen to our episode about pension funds and like what's going on with the city pensions. Specifically, the money is going to go to shore up police and firefighter pensions in particular. The projections are basically, you know, the estimates have been that the when the permanent casino is up, that they're going to bring in, you know, some $200 million a year in tax revenue. It's a little bit less for the temporary site. They're only expecting, city officials are only expecting about $55 million per year from this temporary site. But still, that's not nothing.
No, both of us at different times, unmotivated, have been walking downtown and just sent each other photos of Medina Temple and how the Bally signs have been going, coming up more and more. So I guess, I mean, my last question is, if it opens this weekend or, you know, later in September, are you ever going to go? And if so, how soon?
A gambler, Jacoby. It's really not my thing. The amount of not my thing that is, I really cannot emphasize.
Like, I mean, even just to like check it out, because gambling is not my thing either. I probably make one bet on FanDuel every NBA, NFL season combined. Very risk averse in that way. But particularly the Bally's Casino. I know Medina Temple isn't going to have all of the entertainment, but I feel like I got to at least step in to see what all the hype is. I've been to a casino in Shreveport, Louisiana. I've been in Indiana. I've been in Vegas. So now I just need to see how it compares to my own research, you know?
I feel that. And like, I will be interested to see, for example, like, what does traffic look like around River North? Mm. Like, River North is already very busy. You know, it's a happening spot. So like, how does this affect that? I know that's a real concern for neighbors in River West, where the permanent casino will be, right? Like, folks are really worried about, like, what the foot, not just the traffic, not just cars, but also what the foot traffic is going to be like, and how loud is it going to be, and how busy is it going to be. And we're going to get a sense of how interested is Chicago in having a casino? How interested are Chicagoans in partaking in this particular entertainment option that is now available to them in the city, you know, kind of right here, as opposed to needing to go to the suburbs or needing to go to Indiana. I don't know. I don't know how popular it'll be. I was certainly surprised at how popular NASCAR was when NASCAR was here. And it's, you know, we'll probably, again, because it's very much not my thing personally, I am curious to see how the rest of Chicago feels about it.
Same. And I'm interested to see how the stories go if something bad happens, if the traffic is terrible, if someone does, you know, fall in an unsafe condition leaving the casino or something. Because when you look at the expected revenue, like $55 million versus at the temporary site versus $200 million at the main site, I wonder if people will sort of take that and will go, well, it's bad here, so it'll be four times as worse over in River West. And what does that conversation look like? Because, you know, this temporary casino is likely to be here if it opens soon for 3 years. That's the plan, for it to be open until the full-fledged one comes. So obviously it's not going anywhere. We'll catch you up when we find out more from these inspections and we have a more crystal clear date. But again, Bally's Casino in Chicago is one step closer with a temporary casino coming into focus. This weekend, the NFL season is back. Football is back at Soldier Field, and it's getting started in the spiciest way possible with the Chicago Bears' biggest rivals, the Green Bay Packers, making their way to Soldier Field for the first game of the season for the first time in over a decade without their star quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to get into all of the speculation on how well will the Bears do, how bad will the Packers be. We'll talk about that later in the week. This got me thinking about what are Chicago's best rivalries, because since the time I have been cognizant, I have been taught to hate the Packers. I have a homie who is born and raised in Chicago and loves the Packers, and we give my man Charles so much grief despite the Packers being a decent football team for most of our lives. And so as somebody who is, you know, not originally from Chicago and has had to come to learn our rivalries, what do you think are some of the best Chicago rivalries in sports or out?
One that I think is a little bit underrated more under-discussed and I think is very complicated. Everyone always talks about North Side, South Side, but there is also a South Side, West Side rivalry out here. And it manifests in different ways. Maybe the gentlest, most friendly way it manifests is in Harold's versus Uncle Remus. This is one of those.
And gentlest is a graceful term to use because people will go go to blows over Uncle Remus versus Harold's.
They really do. Again, I have no dog in this fight at all. Like, you know, I am not from Chicago. I live on the North Side, so clearly this has nothing to do with me, and I shouldn't be getting involved. But I have just been really fascinated by it, and I watching it from afar. It's just I feel like it's under discussed, and it's known but not necessarily talked about as much.
I think it's under discussed because in many ways the South and West Sides have both become these sort of reductive terms to talk about disinvestment. But when you really look into the story of Black Chicago, it is this complicated dynamic between waves of migration with so many people settling on the South Side and so much Black wealth getting concentrated on the South Side, to the point where when people think Black Chicago, you know, especially if they're from outside the city, they're thinking about the South Side of the city.
Yeah.
And West Siders have to remind people when Martin Luther King came, he marched on the West Side. Fred Hampton and the Illinois Black Panther Party was on the West Side. People will argue, and I would understand, Garfield Park is maybe a better park to go to than Jackson Park. And so it's a rivalry that definitely stretches from sort of the more mundane, everyday things like who got the best chicken, all the way just up to who is, like, where is Black Chicago located? And I think the Southsiders, we have grown so arrogant to the idea that the Black Belt, the low end, that is, you know, where Black Chicago's home is. But many Westsiders will tell you some of the earliest settlements of Black Chicagoans were Northwest on the West Side as well. And so it can be a friendly rivalry, but it can also be very, very contentious. And I think we have way more in common than we think. Our slang is definitely a little bit different. You know, the gangs are a little bit different, but ultimately I think we're willing to put down the beef to fight anybody who come in at Black Chicago at large. We'll put the South versus West Side thing down for the sake of solidarity. But when we having that indoor conversation with just us, no, it's still there, G. It's still there. I still be having moments. You know when Xavier came on, when Natalie came on, and I was like, dang, I brought two West Siders over here. And they was like, yes, we finna talk about the West Side today, Kofi. And so there's a pride there that I love from both ends.
When we brought Morgan and Tiffany on from the tribe, they will tell us. They'll tell us they're from there. And I love it. I get to sit here and
like they say,
learn.
The West Side is the best side. That's what they say. And I just think they say that because it rhymes. But, you know, I ain't going to take nothing from my West Side listeners who throw up the W. I get it. I think, you know, I know where I'm from. I know where I'm at, but I get it.
Can I talk to you about a fake rivalry that I think is not a real rivalry that
Lincoln Park versus Lakeview?
That's if anyone says it's a rivalry.
Hey, you remember we were doing them neighborhood guys? We told somebody said the wrong neighborhood. They was like, whoa.
Yeah.
We are not Lakeview. We are Lincoln Park. We are not Lakeview. We are Lincoln. But no, go ahead. Fake rivalry.
A fake rivalry that I think we have been indoctrinated into thinking is a real rivalry. This is not actually a real thing. It's Deep Dish versus Tavern Style. Yeah. This is not a real rivalry. We talked about this in our Deep Dish episode when we kind of dug into like what it is and when we eat it and why we like it. And it's this like really interesting thing that it's like, as somebody who's not from here, for me, it's this like, what level of Chicagoan are you at? Like, are you at the level of Chicagoan where you say like, oh, real Chicagoans don't eat deep dish? Or have you achieved the like true Chicagoan of like, it's all pizza. It's all good. Let's like, let's eat whatever we want, whenever we want. Why are we talking about this? That to me is like, oh, that is the true Chicagoan approach to pizza, and the deep dish versus tavern style is not actually a rivalry. So a bit of a nuanced one there, I feel like.
No, I agree 100%. I'm willing to answer that in either way. It's not a rivalry because, let's just be real, tavern style is what 90% of people are ordering if they want to have a night with their friends. They're getting pizza at the house. We understand deep dish is more celebratory, more on a holiday, and tavern is any old Saturday, but they're both good. What we're not going to do, though, and I love that we constantly on this show challenge people, is like, we're definitely not going to be in a conversation where it's like, if you eat deep dish, you're not a real Chicagoan. That's like, for me, that's like if you put ketchup on a hot dog, I'm like, relax. If someone likes this, it's okay. But yeah, I actually don't think, I think it's a media, it's a figment of our media reality. I don't think it's that big a deal to most Chicagoans.
I 100% agree.
What is a big deal to a lot of Chicagoans is the food festival that tells us this year that we are almost out of summer, and that's the Taste of Chicago. Typically, we get to celebrate the taste in July during the middle of summer. We ain't got no problems, no worries. Obviously, that's not real. You still got problems in the summer, but you know what I'm saying, right? We're enjoying the weather at its best. But this year, because of NASCAR earlier this summer, the Taste of Chicago got pushed back to September, and it's finally going to have its moment in Grant Park, which has held, I think, 1,633 and a half events this summer. And so, you know, I haven't been to the Grant Park Taste in a couple of years, but I am excited to get back out there this year because I'll be hosting on one of the stages alongside our good friends, Monica Ang and David Hammond, the authors of Made in Chicago, Stories Behind 30 Great Hometown Bites. The three of us will be hosting a Chicago food trivia at the Taste. And so you can stop by from 4 to 5 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Not only get the good food, get your free admission, but to come win some prizes with us. Thinking of Monica and David's book, they had 30 different hometown bites. Some things that you and I have eaten together, some things that we haven't had. What's the thing that you haven't eaten yet that you're most excited to try?
I think it's got to be the gym shoe sandwich. This is one of those. This is one of those things that I really desperately like. I really desperately want to try it. It is complicated. It is got a lot going on in it. You can't find it everywhere. And it's gonna be at the Taste, which I appreciate. Because I know where to find it, and it is gonna be a little bit easier. It would be a little bit easier for me to get. But that is one I would really like to try because I feel like that's a bucket list food is a gym shoe sandwich, in my opinion.
Nah, that's the sandwich that's gonna make you kick your bucket. Like, what are you talking about? Part Italian beef, part gyro with some corned beef in there. I love a good Italian sandwich, right? So I'm not against multiple like deli meats on one sandwich. I'm all for that. I mean, I'm a person who eaten a gyro cheeseburger in my life. So I understand that. But the gym shoe, it just, at least for me, those are, and maybe people gonna check my Chicago card on this one, and I'm okay with that. But to me, these are the three least appealing sandwich meats. I can't imagine putting all three of those very different, like Italian beef, a gyro, and a corned beef sandwich on their own. They're three iconic sandwiches. Smacking them things together with some lettuce, some onion, and tomato, That's too much for me, man. That's too much for me.
That's why, though. It's the excess. That's what I'm here. It's okay, right? I made this argument when we talked about deep dish. It's all about the excess. It's all about the spectacle. Like, this is what if we're talking about icons, we're talking about, you know, something that represents like this city that is that is so diverse and has so much going on in it, like, a food that has too much going on, that's what I want to eat. That's what I want to try. Now, am I going to eat that whole sandwich? No, that's not going to happen. There's no way. There's no way I finish that whole sandwich. But I will try it. I will try it.
One sandwich that I am looking forward to trying, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, is the Jibarito. I have never had a Chicago Jibarito, which is flattened fried plantains in the place of bread, usually like some type of mayo, aioli or something. And then it's got meat, cheese, lettuce, and tomato. I think the original Hiburrito might have had steak up in it. But that's one that we are planning to sit down with the homie Pinky Ring and Joshua Smizer De Leon from El Paseo Podcast. And we are going to learn the story of the Hiburrito. We are going to eat it. And so that's one I've been looking forward to even before the book, but especially after listening to Monica describe it. It did something to me. I was like, okay. I like all of these things individually, have never had them together. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. If you want to come hang out with me at The Taste, I will be there Friday and Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. with Monica Ang and David Hammond, the authors behind the wonderful book, Made in Chicago, Stories Behind 30 Great Hometown Bites. Come out, learn about some of the things on the list. We're going to be talking about Akutagawa. We're going to be talking about Flaming Saganaki, Jardinera. And then you can learn about some of the things that I'm sure you've tried already, like Tavern Style or a Chicago Dog. And you might get the chance to try one of the other things on the list, taffy grapes. Who doesn't love prizes and taffy grapes? So I'll see you at The Taste. Simone, I appreciate you making time for yet another week of breaking down some cool stories from across the city. We talked about Casino. We talked about rivalries. And we talked about The Taste of Chicago this weekend at Grand Park. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. The Chicago Water Taxi is opening back up for the season today. Stops include Ogilvie and Union in the West Loop, Michigan Avenue, and Chinatown. You can find tickets and more information at chicagowatertaxi.com. And some good news. One of my favorite festivals is back this weekend, and that's Printer's Row Lit Fest in the Loop. You can shop from dozens of local bookstores and hear from some of your favorite authors. If you check the link in the show notes, you'll definitely see some of our recent guests, folks like Ariane Nettles, Natalie Moore, Jonathan Eig, Louisa Chu, and so many more. As always, we appreciate you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago, at chicago.citycast.fm. And we want to know, what do you think is the best Chicago rivalry? Maybe it is in sports, the Bears versus the Packers, the Cubs versus the Cardinals. We know it ain't the Bulls and the Knicks and the Pistons. That's like the bygone era, the Jordan years. It ain't here no more. Let us know at 773-780-0246. Maybe you do think it's Harold's versus Uncle Remus. I think that's a wash. That's just me personally. I'm gonna talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Oh, I love a Chicago dog. I'm here for it. I love it every single time. Put a whole salad on my hot dog.
I asked for one over the weekend, and this dude, like, I asked to take some things off and to add ketchup, and he handed me the ketchup, and he said, I won't put ketchup on a hot dog. And I thought he was joking, like it was like a joke, and he was just going to take it back and put it on. No, he handed us the bottle and was like, I won't do it. And he said it in a cheeky way, but I definitely was like, bro, I just gave you money. You about to put some ketchup on this hot dog. But his Chicago pride, he was just like, I'm from Chicago. But people take them hot dogs seriously.